Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All right, it's Day Player on this early Sunday morning on 720 WGN. And Dave Schwann joining me down live in the studio, dancing in his chair.
Just call me Go-Go Daddy.
That's fantastic. I always see Roger dancing up there, but now I got two of you guys.
I was shaking
now.
My head.
You were shaking. Yeah. I saw it happening.
I'm chair dancing.
He was chair dancing.
It's the Stones doing a little, as Rolling Stones.
I thought that
doing
was
right. 66. Yeah. I didn't even know they did that song. There's a bunch of artists, but
they did a lot of that stuff early on.
They did.
Lot of the rock and roll from America, a lot of the blues.
That's right.
That was their influence.
That was their thing.
Legend has it they recorded down the street about a mile and a half.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's video of it. With not BB King, with
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters,
Was it Muddy Waters?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, there's always a Chicago connection, isn't there?
Yes, there is. 6 degrees of Chicago.
Absolutely. Well, here we are, Route 66. It wasn't the very first highway in America, and others may have covered more ground and had much more traffic, but the most well-known highway in this country is the Mother Road, and that's Route 66. It was the country's very first numbered highway, and this year it turns 90. Now, there's a terrific book out there focused on our home state called Route 66 in Illinois. Between the great cities of Chicago and St. Louis, there are 300 miles of adventure, history, culinary delights, and quirky attractions. This is the land of Lincoln and roadside giants. There are cozy motels, diners, cozy dogs. It goes through the hearts of the towns, wandering through old brick pavement from the far roar of the interstate. Historic restaurants like Lou Mitchell's in Chicago, Palms Grill in Atlanta, Ariston Cafe in Litchfield still keeps coffee pots warm. Waitresses, pump jockeys, gangsters, cops, politicians all gave the Main Street of America its distinctive personality. And joining us this morning are the authors of this great book, and that's Joe Sonderman and Cheryl Eichardt. Good morning to you both.
Well, good morning, Dave. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. And this is what's really exciting. You are actually at a Route 66 festival right now as we speak in Springfield, Missouri. Am I correct?
Yep, it's part of the 90th anniversary celebrations, and every year in Springfield, they have this festival. It gets bigger and better every year. They've got, they're drawing 50, 60,000 people down here.
Wow.
Which is a pretty big deal. Yeah, it's a huge, 66 gets bigger every year, in large part due to the international following. There's 50% of the people we meet on the route today are from overseas.
Now, part of this is because in 1926, the designation of Route 66 was assigned to Chicago, Los Angeles, in Springfield.
That's right. That's they call it the birthplace of 66, and that's the first time the number was used. It was a big hassle because it was supposed to be US 60 initially.
Yeah, right. There were some signs made for that.
Battle. Yeah. And that's good that came out the way it did, because get your kicks on 60 doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't sound as smooth.
Nobody would buy Phillips 60 gas.
No, you wouldn't. That's funny. Now, how did you both fall in love with Route 66? Cheryl, what about you? What piqued your interest?
I think it started with me when I was a child. My parents were road trippers. They really enjoyed a good road trip, and they had relatives in other states. So we found ourselves on 66 several times a year. And they taught me to read road maps when I was really young. One of my favorite memories when I was small, I think I was reading road maps by the time I was reading books. So those were special times that sort of implanted themselves, at an early age. I'd been interested in history all my life and started writing and being published with print small community history books in 2009. And while I was researching for one of them, I just sort of backed into the whole Route 66 scene, and that's when I totally embraced it. It was about that time that Joe and I met really started sharing the love of the road.
Yeah, what about you, Joe?
It kind of stems from my childhood, where when we traveled as kids, my father wouldn't stop for nothing. I mean, typical of fathers of that era, we blasted through across Illinois like a rocket sled on rails, and he wouldn't stop. And I vowed to myself, sitting in the back of that 74 Country Squire wagon with the paneling on the side, I said, one of these days, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to see every one of these places. And I think, and you get hooked. I always tell people that once you drive it, you will understand.
Yeah.
And you will be hooked as well. It only takes one little trip off that I-55 exit ramp, and you'll be hooked.
Well, I think in our WGN newsman, Dave Schwann, is joining us a little bit earlier on his shift this morning in studio. And, Dave, you have obviously those similar experiences.
Oh, absolutely. What I just completely echo that. Joe is right. Once you drive it, that's it. And you learn, you get a different feel of America. And the other thing that strikes me about 66 is the difference in terrain that you see throughout our country, from starting out here in Chicago, going through the flat areas, the plains of central southern Illinois, rolling terrain into Missouri. They're in Springfield right now. That's a beautiful drive through southern Missouri and into Oklahoma. And then things start to open up in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona. Just the difference in terrain and the difference of atmosphere around you is just striking.
What is a typical, if you were to leave Illinois and go to Los Angeles and really kind of explore, how much time do you really have to take to do that?
You'd really want a month to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because
I crammed it into 2 weeks.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
Well, a month would do it.
We hardcore roadies tend to say that we're on Route 66 time because we seldom show up when we're supposed to, because there's always someone else to stop and talk to, pictures
very
to
much.
Be taken, and you know, all the roadside goodies to really be sampled. So ideal is if you've got it at least a month so you can really see everything.
Just a little history. What exactly got this road started to begin with? It just turned 90. There were other little roads like the Lone Star Route and, you know, the Transcontinental National Old Trails Road, you know, that they kind of combined together. But what made them say, hey, you know what, we need to create some kind of thoroughfare from here in Chicago in the Midwest to Los Angeles?
Well, it was the mind of an Oklahoma businessman named Cyrus Avery, who happened to own a big business on Tulsa. And he was a very influential man, got himself appointed to the committee that laid out the roads, that laid out when the federal highway system was commissioned. And old Cyrus made darn sure that road ran right in front of his business. And we call him
man.
The father of 66. And he, because, you know, the normal U.S. highways at the time were transcontinental routes or north-south routes. But Cyrus managed to get one that was neither, and he still got the important number assigned to it. And 66 was the first road that had public relations people. And I think that's where it started to get ingrained in our consciousness and our pop culture through an event called the Bunyan Derby, which was a transcontinental foot race, through the Great Depression, through Steinbeck, through the song, through the television show. It's the only road with its own subculture.
Well, long-distance travel wasn't very common back then, and it wasn't really easy to travel east to west. And at the time, as you said, there was some publicity out there. The U.S. Highway 66 Association, their mission was to promote this and let people know, look, this is an easy trip, and you can make it too, and there's really cool things along the way. And that's really what jump-started everything.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I think, too, the great migrations west that occurred during the Depression and during World War II. And then when the GIs came back, they packed their families. California was the promised land. It was the golden state. And people wanted to see the new Disneyland and everything. And that carried it on. The beat writers glamorized it further. And now it's become its own. The myth has become reality because people are now seeking it out. And it now has this legendary status in people's minds. And, you know, and now you go out there and you see new places to recapture that era and everything. And that's what's making it special. But it's all about the people, not about the pavement.
Yeah, yeah.
Never has been. It's about the people you meet and the places you go. Where I'm from St. Louis, and you know, and coming from the big city, it's really unusual for you to meet people who talk to you and
look it's true.
In the eye and wait on you and care about you and call you by name. And that's still out there waiting for you.
Now, this new book.
I'd like to add.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I'd just like to add that the that myth about 66 that has grown and evolved is especially true for our international friends that come over to visit. Joe and or I seldom pass a day or a week that we don't encounter some of our international friends, either at a festival, at a program we give, at a book signing, or just every day on social media. It's huge, and some of them credit the start of their love affair with our road here with the movie Easy Rider.
Oh,
because that whole feeling of freedom, you know, on the bike, on the highway, across the great terrain of our country.
But, you know, now Dave was saying, you know, that it, and you were saying that it takes, you know, really, he crammed it in a couple of weeks. You said, you know, a month to really travel it. But if you want to take a piece of it and go through just the Illinois portion of Route 66, that is a great family adventure. Again, the book is Route 66 in Illinois. Amazing stories in this book, highlighting so many of the attractions, but the pictures are fabulous. You organize the book by county, really, and starting in Cook and DuPage. And I think people know about what Route 66 is all about. My kids have more familiarity with it because of the Disney movie Cars that came out, that they kind of understand that that's what Route 66 is all about. But nobody really understands that it actually starts in downtown Chicago, like Michigan and Jackson, right?
That's right. Or ends, depending on your point.
Right. That's true. So tell me a little bit about the journey. So we started Michigan Avenue in Jackson, and then tell me where it goes from there as we're going down to St. Louis.
Cheryl, go ahead.
Well, of course, it was originally Jackson and Michigan at the Art Institute Corner was the original eastern terminus. In 37, it was actually moved out on Outer Lake, which, of course, became Lakeshore Drive. So to a great extent, it follows Ogden Avenue down through Berwyn Lyons. So there's a number of things there. Berwyn had a great street as far as they had kind of an automobile row. They had many automobile dealers sort of lined up several blocks. Another famous business there was Ogden Top and Trim, which is a family business that is still in existence. And many of those old automobile dealership buildings are just fabulous buildings, and quite a few of them still exist. There were just a bunch of interesting things along the way. There was the roller coaster ride for cars. You would get on, pay a quarter, drive your car around a track one time. So there were a lot of things in that area to see. The White Fence Farm, you get down in Joliet, of course, the great Rialto Theater.
Right, so it's really going downtown Chicago to Joliet, and there's so many cool stops and classic dining and must-see museums. And we're going to talk to Joe Sonderman and Cheryl Eichardt-Jett about their book, Route 66 in Illinois, as we celebrate 90 years of the Mother Road. And if you have any questions or memories of traveling Route 66, you can call or text us 312-981-7200, and we'll do that and much more next on 720 WGN.
Well, it winds from Chicago to LA.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN along with Dave Schwann joining me in studio. We're talking to Joe Sonderman and Cheryl Eichardt-Jett about their book, Route 66 in Illinois, as we celebrate 90 years of the Mother Road. So we were talking about some of the great things to see when you're traveling Route 66 here in Illinois. There's great restaurants, great museums, and then there's just vintage businesses along the way. What are some of the highlights as dining is concerned?
I think, first of all, I've heard that announcement for the Bears, that promotional announcement. Coming from St. Louis, I just want to ask, what is this NFL of which you speak?
Nice.
What is that?
Okay. Poor guy.
But back to the subject. Anyway, I think that two towns that really stand out for me really sum up the Illinois experience. The first one is Pontiac, where the entire community has embraced this road. The museum is there for the state. There are beautiful murals everywhere. And the other one that jumps out is Little Atlanta, Illinois. It's a town that not only has been bypassed by the interstate, but then the interstate has been bypassed there. And you have to know it's there, and you have to take your time, make that turn, and you'll be rewarded with this remarkable streetscape with murals, one of those giant fiberglass Paul Bunyan statues that holds its arm out. Oh, he's holding a hot dog. And unique buildings. and one of the better restaurants, which would be the Palms Grill Cafe in Atlanta. And that one that deserves a attaboy is the Ariston in Litchfield.
Don't forget the Log Cabin restaurant in Pontiac, too.
Yeah. Which is another one of those that if you look into it, any business like that, anyone, just pick one, they have a story.
You can find
something unique or something about any of those places. And, you know, a lot of people when they travel 66, they see all these abandoned places and they look at them and they go, well, who wants to look at all this abandoned, depressing stuff? And Route 66 roadies, we call ourselves roadies, don't see it that way. Each one of those buildings is the story of a family that struggled and built their business. And perhaps the interstate came and took it all away in a single day. And the more you delve into those stories, the more you'll join us on the dark side.
Now, you were talking about the restaurants. The White Chicken Farm or White Fence Farm is what Cheryl was talking about. I have heard a million times about Del Rey's Chicken Basket. So where's that?
That's around Berwyn, isn't it?
That's in Willowbrook.
Willowbrook.
It's in Willowbrook. It's a little tricky to find because where it was once on a major road, it's just one of those small spots that's been completely surrounded by interstates and major freeways and on and off ramps. So you have to kind of navigate all that to get in on the old road and find it sort of as a little island in there. That is a fabulous place to go. They have great neon outside, and they have great neon inside.
Ooh, that's cool.
The fried chicken is to die for, and I suppose actually you could, because they bring you pretty much a whole chicken on every plate.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Great food and bring your appetite.
What's your favorite restaurant along the way, Cheryl, through the state of Illinois on Route
66?
Well,
as Joe said, I just dearly love the Palms Grill in Atlanta. I like that one so much because it's just the whole experience. The food's very good and the service is very good, but it's the whole experience that you go in. It's sort of a time capsule, and the waitresses are wearing retro uniforms. You can order a blue plate special. But I suppose the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart is the Ariston Cafe in Litchfield. Yeah. I grew up in the two Route 66 cities of Springfield and Litchfield, close to the route. And I've been friends with the Adam family in Litchfield since I was a child. And
the
Adam family children and my children sort of grew up together. We lived just two doors apart. So I have a long history of knowing that family and eating at the Ariston, and they have fabulous food.
Aren't the pies and pastries great there?
Well, they're good anywhere.
Something, and you cannot resist, because for many, many years, when you're just about finished with your meal, your server comes around with a large tray with a big, juicy sample of every dessert.
That's fantastic. Now, there's gas stations along the way that are legendary, and I know we've posted them before when we talked about Route 66. There's the Ambler Becker Station, the Odell Gas Station, the Sprague Service Station. Tell me a little bit about those and what do you experience there?
Well, I think, we just recently lost one of them, which was Bill Shea Station in Springfield. Again, you will encounter... very few of them are active gas stations anymore, but it harkens back to a day when it was much more than filling up your car. And it was an experience in and of itself, because four guys would come running out of the station to check your oil and wipe your windshield, and they were kind of at your beck and call. And we don't have that kind of personalized service anymore. You go into a bulletproof and talk to them through the glass,
yeah.
And it's part of that we don't have those interpersonal relationships and experiences anymore, which is one reason this country's so divided, because the roads don't go through the towns anymore. You don't relate to other people at all. You sit with your nose in an electronic device.
That's so true. So true. And there's truck stops along the way. There's also the Skyview Drive-In. I'm a big fan. You see, I'm a vintage, and Dave knows this too. I've got to do this Route 66 in Illinois because I haven't done it yet.
We're going to do it.
Okay, all right, let's do that.
We're going to do it.
All right. But no, I love the drive-ins too. Penny, you're on 720 WGN. You got a question.
Hello?
Yes, Penny, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is to both Joe and Cheryl. I'm just curious to know, with all their extensive research and personal knowledge of the Mother Road, in their opinion, what is the couple of the coolest towns to visit in Illinois?
Well, I think I would first have to go as far as the total package. As Joe said earlier, with the Pontiac, which is just the total package, and Atlanta, which has the maybe the shortest, but the sweetest and most jam-packed streetscape in Illinois. And it's sort of a total package, too, although it's a small package and one that's not to be missed. This might be a good time to mention that there are some of our Illinois Route 66 towns that are not always on the visitor's landscape or radar, that are really making an effort to make their mark. And one of those is Gillespie, which unfortunately is one of those towns that most of what was there relative to Route 66 has been lost due to quote-unquote progress. But a new museum has just been established in Gillespie. It's the Illinois Museum of Coal at Gillespie. It's just been established. It's in a historic bank building, which the city purchased. And it's got really the history of coal, not just in the Gillespie area, which was totally a coal mining town, but of Illinois in general. So it's open limited hours because it's still under construction. But even at this point, it's not to be missed. So they don't have a full opening date. I would say it's probably a year out. But if you can catch somebody there during a weekday working, it's worth a stop. This last fall, Edwardsville had its first major Route 66 event. We held the first annual Illinois Miles of Possibility Route 66 conference there. We had a really good time, and we drew people from 15 states plus Canada and Belgium. We brought in over 100 participants that enjoyed our downtown streetscape in Edwardsville.
And there's so many museums, too. You mentioned some of these museums. You know, there's a lot of Route 66 museums, but you got the Pontiac Oakland Automobile Museum, obviously the Abraham Lincoln Museum. There's so much to see along that way as well. Dave, before we go, you mentioned you looked in the when you were reading the book, you saw the picture of the Joliet train station.
Yeah, definitely a lot of great memories there in Joliet and around it, because my grandparents would come up from Alton, Illinois, taking what was the old Gulf Mobile and Ohio GM&O Railroad. This is before Amtrak now. And we would drive to Joliet to get them to avoid, you know, downtown traffic here in Chicago. But I have so many great memories of that classic train station in Joliet. That's worth a visit in and of itself down there.
Well, it makes me want to go. And I'll tell you, folks, it's a great book, great history, incredible vintage photos, and it really gives you a bird's eye view on what you're going to see when you travel the road. And again, the book is called Route 66 in Illinois. Joe Sonderman, Cheryl Eichardt-Jett, thank you both very much for sharing some of these stories. And I encourage people to pick up the book.
Thank you so much for having us.
And enjoy your weekend at the big event in Missouri.
You bet we will. We let that whole thing that gets your kicks on Route 66. It's true.
There you go.
Just get off the interstate.
Awesome. Thanks again, folks. I appreciate it. All right. It is 4:36, a little late, but Mr. Roger Badish has the top stories.
I just want to say we did a partial Route 66 trip when we moved from Chicago to Vegas.
We had
a lot of, I made a purposeful detours into some of the smaller towns along the way through Missouri and through Oklahoma and Texas, and had to get off of it going to Vegas, so we didn't take it all the way out to California, but it was just beautiful to see those small towns.
Did you consciously know there were certain places along the way that you wanted to hit?
You mean like,
or did
like
you just stumble upon
sites
them?
To see?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was more wanting to follow the route.
Ah, gotcha.
And just see the towns. Like, okay, let's get off the highway. Here's Route 66, a portion of it that still exists. We had planned it all out. We only did a week. We didn't take 2 weeks. But we did see those portions in some of the towns that's where it still existed. You could still see the Route 66 signs, and it was just kind of cool to drive through and see what was there, and then back out on the highway, and we had certain places we wanted to be at certain times, and so maybe
that's cool.
Maybe
hungry.
When I actually retire,
yeah.
we'll take some a little more purposeful
you're
road trips.
You're never going to retire.
You're right.
You're never going to. Don't say that. But I will tell you, it's hard for, I think about families, how great that would be to take month or even 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
sure.
I have a hard time taking a long weekend sometimes. So I like the fact that you can really explore it in the state.
Yeah. And if you plan ahead of time, you can still feel as though you're exploring it for the first time. In other words, you may want to pick up a little time on the highway, but then you're going to spend half a day following what's left of 66,
right?
Because it's not a straight road. Some people say, "Hey, let's go out on 66," and a lot of it's not there anymore.
Right.
So you have to find it on the maps and then make that purposeful detour to go through it. So.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. And it's there's so much to talk about. And now it's time for the 5 o'clock news.
And it's, today in history. No,
it is.
Well, Dave's got his coffee, so let me get through this.
All right, 4:38. Here's Roger.